Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and hope you guys are having a good Memorial Day weekend for those of you here in the States. Didn't get a chance to sit down and do this podcast last week. I got a new fork out of an old, year or so old Domain that I had managed to bend the stanchions and blow the seals and busted the lowers, put some cracks in the bottom of the lowers and stuff, and so finally RockShox wanted to see my fork, and they were nice enough to send me back a brand new Lyric, and extremely stoked on that. So anyways, I ended up getting that on my bike and kind of got super motivated to get out and ride over the last few days. So haven't had a chance to sit down and do much for the blog. So anyways, got a chance this morning. So going to go over and just basically follow the same format I started last time, which is to go over the posts that I made on the blog, kind of do a quick summary of them, and maybe go into a little more depth on some of the concepts and stuff. And so, anyways, get right into it. The first one that I posted that I didn't cover on the last weekly update podcast was a real quick little entry I did called The Fitness Ride. And, you know, I should probably get into this, like write a little more expanded article on this at some point in the future, but basically what I talk about is, you know, when I can't get out for a long ride, then I'll try to make my short ride as hard as possible. And, you know, one of the ways to do that is to slam your seat. You know, maybe not all the way down, but at least, you know, like halfway down or so. But basically put yourself in a position where it's not extremely comfortable to sit down and pedal. And force yourself to stand and pedal. And work on that standing pedaling endurance, because it's that standing pedaling endurance, and whether you know you realize it or not, but your body looks at standing pedaling differently than it does seated pedaling. And so the fitness that you build in your seated pedaling position, you know, will have some transfer, but it's not going to have as much direct transfer as standing will. And so if, you know, sitting down and pedaling is the easy part of mountain biking, realistically. I mean, that's why it's our default position. Whenever we get tired, we want to sit down and start, you know, pedaling. Then, you know, realistically, you need to do some things to get yourself comfortable with that harder position. There's two positions to pedal your bike. We need to get away from this thought that, you know, sitting down and spinning circles is the best way. It's not. It's the best way under certain circumstances, but it's not the only way. You know, as a mountain biker, you need to have command of everything in your arsenal. You need to be good at both seated and standing pedaling efforts. And so, you know, doing something like what I call my fitness ride, where I'll slam my seat and go out on like a half hour, 45 minute loop, and really force myself to try to stand as much as possible that entire time, really does wonders for increasing your, you know, standing pedaling endurance. So it's just kind of a little quick thought on a way, you know, if you're not able to get out for a longer ride, there are ways to make shorter rides more challenging. And so that's, you know, one way to do it, is to take away that easy seated position and really force yourself to stand. And you'll definitely get more of a training effect out of a shorter ride like that. And so anyway, so that's basically it on that. The next entry that I made was on the May combo drill of the month, and did a couple things different here. You know, first of all, I used kettlebells in this demo. I use kettlebells a lot. I love kettlebell training. You can find, there are these pretty nifty things called kettle grips, and they're basically like an adjustable kettlebell. They're a handle, and they allow you to actually like use weight plates to build you know, kettlebell type apparatus. You can't do everything with them that you can do with regular kettlebells, but you can do, you know, probably 90-95% of the exercises with them. And so I'm going to start incorporating kettlebells a lot more into my demos and stuff like that, just because I love them so much. They do offer a lot of unique training advantages over just regular dumbbells, although, you know, dumbbells are fine. So anyways, I did demonstrate this with the kettlebell, and then I actually had one of my clients go through it, and you know, just kind of experimenting here, seeing how this goes. I kind of like the idea of having somebody else demonstrate it, and then, you know, having me kind of, you know, using some of the coaching cues and things like that I use when I'm coaching people during that. And so anyways, the combo drill this month is just a real basic drill. And it, you know, in the video I go over, you know, not only what the exercises are, but how these exercises apply to mountain biking. And one of the things that I really want to start doing is making more of a connection between the exercises and the skills that they're going to be building on your mountain bike. So I think that's kind of an underappreciated thing of what strength and conditioning can do for mountain bikers: increase your technical skills on your bike, because there are basic movement skills that you need to have in order to do these higher level technical skills on your bike, you know. So just a real quick example, you know, cornering, you know, you need to be able to lean your bike over, but you also need to be able to keep your center of gravity, you know, in a good position. Like if your hips get too far to the inside of a corner, you're going to lose your balance, and that's how you end up washing out. You know, if you're able to keep your hips a little bit to the outside of that corner, relatively speaking, then you're able to maintain traction better. And so if you don't have the hip mobility and control to be able to lean your bike over, yet keep your hips pushed to the outside a little bit in order to maintain that balance that you're looking for, then you're going to have a tough time cornering. You can, you know, practice cornering drills till the cows come home, but if you don't have that hip mobility and you don't have that hip control, then you're never going to get it like you want. And so that's actually two of the drills in this month's combination drill: work on that hip mobility and that hip control that you need for cornering and stuff like that. And so anyway, so just you know, some stuff. And this is a basic. There's a couple different ways to use this combo drill. The way that I've been using it actually is, you know, like, you know, just two sets of five reps on each side, and doing it, you know, on a daily basis, or, you know, at least like 3-4 times a week. And again, this isn't so much training in the way that I'm straining and really pushing myself hard every day, as much as it is I'm using it as a way to just practice good clean movement and kind of get these movements dialed in. And and then when I get to my regular training program, you know, when I get into the gym and lift two or three times a week, then I get more out of my workout. You know, doing these little small 15-minute daily workouts like this, just to kind of keep the movements clean and things working well, will set you up for better workouts when you do get into the gym. And so that's what this month's combination drill is all about. So if you haven't checked it out, make sure that you do. It's a good one. The other one, next post that I made, was on mountain biking for fat loss. And this is something that comes up every once in a while. I've actually got a picture here on it of a gentleman who is significantly overweight, and, you know, yet he is a cyclist, and the caption says, "No one says you have to be lean to be a cyclist," and that's, you know, very true. You know, from the road cycling side, I know, like, Eddie Merckx, he's, you know, a freaking legend in road cycling circles, you know, wasn't exactly the leanest cat out there. You know, I mean, obviously we look at a lot of the top level road cyclists today, and you know, they're really, you know, skinny, but like I said, you know, you can definitely find examples on both mountain biking and road cycling of individuals who are, you know, very good high level cyclists, and yet they're not necessarily the trimmest people on the planet. And here's the problem, and this is actually another thing I could probably expand on a little bit more, because this really actually gets to the heart of the mountain bike training conundrum. And there's a saying that when all you have is a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail. And, you know, basically, as mountain bikers, we tend to try to look at how mountain biking can solve all of our fitness problems. You know, if we want to lose fat, you know, what do I need to do on my bike? You know, I want to get faster, what do I need to do on my bike? If I want to get more powerful, what do I need to do on my bike? You know, whatever the problem or that you have, whatever your goal is, as mountain bikers, we tend to look at the mountain bike as how it can solve that problem. But this is like the hammer and the nail theory, you know, or analogy that I used a second ago, because mountain biking, unfortunately, is not the best tool for everything. And this is a good example, actually. Fat loss, you know, mountain biking can help, but mountain biking is not the best tool for fat loss. You can be a relatively good cyclist and not be amazingly lean. And one of the reasons for this is because mountain biking can actually decrease your metabolism and make it harder for you in the long run to burn fat. And so, you know, muscle tissue is one of the most important factors in determining your metabolism, your metabolic rate. So anything that decreases muscle mass will decrease your metabolism. Again, this is not debatable. This is just, you know, scientific fact that the more muscle tissue you have, the more calories you burn 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So the less muscle tissue you have, the less that you burn. Well, mountain biking does burn calories, but it burns fat as well as, or muscle tissue as well as fat. It is a catabolic activity on all, you know, tissues, fat and muscle tissue. So you will burn muscle tissue when you mountain bike a lot. And so if you're using mountain biking as the centerpiece of a fat loss program, you may not get the results that you want. And again, that's the key right there, is a centerpiece. I'm not saying that mountain biking will not help burn calories and that mountain biking won't help with a fat loss program, but it can't be the centerpiece of the fat loss program. The centerpiece of a fat loss program needs to be nutrition, strength training, and intervals. You know, those are the basis for, you know, two of the most popular fat burning programs in the world, Craig Ballantyne's Turbulence Training and Alan Cosgrove's Afterburn Training. That is the basis for their programs. And so if you're looking at, you know, how to, you know, burn fat as quickly and effectively as possible, the reality is you may need to reprioritize things like the strength training and the intervals over mountain biking. And I know, again, I know this is like, you know, sacrilegious to say in mountain biking circles that mountain biking isn't the cure-all for everything, and that the answer to all of your ills isn't, you know, ride more. But this is one of those times when that's really not the case. And so, you know, if you really want to get lean, then you need to make sure that you're trying to maximize your metabolism 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that's where the strength training and the intervals come in. And then the mountain biking is something that you do for fun and, you know, as a supplement to your fat loss program. And so, you know, and this kind of gets me on a little bit of another side tangent, if you want to call it that. But something that I've realized, too, is, you know, there's a difference between mountain biking for fun and mountain biking for fitness. And again, this is a whole other psychology that you know, I'd like to explore down the road. But like, I've realized that there are, you know, I've got clients that I train that mountain bike that, you know, they enjoy mountain biking, but it's not, they do it more for fitness than they do for fun. And so, you know, it's an interesting psychology. You know, I one of my best you know, bros that I talk with about this stuff, you know, he's on that opposite end of the spectrum. Like, yeah, mountain biking's fun for him, but it is his fitness. It's what he does for fitness, and that's how he looks at mountain biking, is, wow, this is going to help get me fit. I go out on the trail, I don't give two craps about whether it's getting me fit or not. I'm going out to have as much fun as possible. I don't care about the fitness. I don't even look at mountain biking as helping add to my fitness levels. You know, I look at my strength and you know, cardio training off the mountain bike as building my fitness levels so that when I get on the bike, I can have as much fun as possible. And so, anyways, it's just kind of an interesting thing. I'm, you know, realizing that there's a lot of different ways that mountain bikers look at mountain biking. And so, anyways, this fat loss question kind of speaks to that. You know, if you're one of those mountain bikers that, you know, leans more towards, well, I mountain bike for fitness, yeah, it's fun, but, you know, it's definitely a centerpiece of my fitness program, then you may find yourself in this situation where you're always trying to figure out how can mountain biking solve all of my fitness problems, and when the reality is it may not be the best. So, you know, if you want to get lean, you may do better to concentrate on strength training and interval training, and then, you know, use mountain biking as a supplement and make it fun. You know, don't look at it as like, well, I got to go out and ride so I can burn some calories. So, so that's that there, you know, mountain biking for fat loss. The next thing that I got into was a top 10 mountain biking superfoods list. And, you know, I split this up into a two-part series here. But basically, I'll run through the list real quick. And this is completely unofficial. I mean, there's a lot of top 10 or top 20 superfoods lists out there. And, you know, obviously things like broccoli and cauliflower, and there's a lot of healthy stuff that can be on there. I made this list as something, you know, this is my list. This is, you know, foods that I actually eat and use on a consistent basis. But they're basically things that I try to make sure that I have on hand all the time. Because part of good nutrition is being prepared. And so if every time you get hungry, you know, you go to your cabinet, you go to the fridge, and, you know, you don't have, you know, good staple food choices there available, then you're going to end up making bad decisions and you know, eating, you know, grabbing a bag of chips and sitting down and eating half of them rather than grabbing, you know, some things and making like a smoothie or super shake or something a little bit better for you. So anyway, so real quick, this is the top 10 list. Number one is blueberries, and this is in no particular order, but, you know, blueberries, I love blueberries, they're good for so much, you know, brain function, things like that, and they taste good, and so I get a lot of my blueberries from the frozen ones that I throw into my, my super shakes and protein shakes, and then, you know, eating the fresh ones when they're in season, but blueberries are awesome. Number two is bananas. You know, I use bananas a lot as kind of a base ingredient in my protein shakes and stuff like that. You know, the idea that the potassium in them helps prevent cramps is debatable at best, but they're definitely a good thing to have on hand. Like I said, I use them more in my super shakes than anything. You know, whey protein is just a must-have. I mean, I don't know how you get by without having, you know, whey protein because, you know, one, you need it for, you know, protein shakes. You know, two, it can help balance out a carb-heavy meal. You know, so if you're going to have some, you know, some cereal in the morning, then, you know, throwing a scoop of whey protein in it turns it from like a really questionable, super high-carb, you know, low-protein feeding to, you know, a relatively balanced, not too bad. Now you've got some protein to help balance out the carbs. And so, you know, if you're having like a serving of pasta and you don't have, you know, a protein source with it. So one of the keys to good nutrition is making sure that you're getting a lean protein and a fruit, you know, and or vegetable, like a good clean carb source with each meal. And so whey protein is just a good way for you to be able to, you know, quickly throw a protein source in with something and balance it out. And so whey protein is a great one to have on hand. The next one that I got on the list is kefir. Kefir is like super yogurt. You can find kefir, it's spelled K-E-F-I-R. You can find kefir at local health food stores. You know, a lot of supermarkets are starting to carry it as well. But it's basically like yogurt, but all the stuff that makes yogurt good, kefir has more of it. And so really good stuff, really like, you know, the kefir. Again, you can eat it straight, you know, use it in your super shakes, whatever the case may be. Number five is fish oil. You know, I said in my post, I'm not actually sure if this is a food, but it gets on my list. If I was a good boy, I would eat more fish, I'd eat more salmon, things like that, but I don't. And so you need to be getting at least 6 grams of fish oil per day for, you know, good body function. And, you know, I mean, if you, you know, the research on fish oil is amazing. All the things that it has been shown to help improve, all of the diseases that it has been shown to help, you know, prevent and help improve, you know, just all the stuff that your body uses it for. I just don't understand why everyone doesn't take this stuff. I mean, this is like way more important than a multivitamin, multimineral. And so, you know, make sure that you're getting your fish oil a day. You know, 6 grams a day. You can either take the pills. I personally, you know, get like the fish oil, like the lemon flavored fish oil. I know it sounds crazy, but it actually tastes all right. Put it in my protein shakes and stuff like that because I don't like taking 6 pills a day, kind of a deal. So, So that's it with number five, fish oil. Make sure you're getting plenty of that. Number six is orange juice. Now, I use orange juice a lot. It's kind of like a pre and post workout or ride drink. Getting something that has about 30 grams of carbs, about 15 grams of protein in it has been shown to really, help increase, blood sugar and blood amino levels and help with recovery from, hard rides or workouts and stuff like that. And so if you take a cup of orange juice and half a scoop of vanilla whey protein and mix it up, that gives you roughly that there. Plus you get the vitamins and minerals and antioxidants, the vitamin C and stuff. And so I love orange juice. I drink a lot of it. And, it's one of the things, if you're looking to lose fat, you'll want to be careful with it, because juice is one of those things. One of the rules of good nutrition, especially for fat loss, is trying to stay away from calorie-containing beverages, because they add up. I mean, if you have, two or three glasses of orange juice a day, well, you've basically added, a good, 300, 400 some odd calories to your diet. So, you don't want to go too crazy with it if fat loss is one of your goals. But, as a pre and post workout or ride drink, and it's great. And so that's what I use it for. Seven is ground flaxseed. A lot of people have heard of and use flaxseed oil. But the actual ground flaxseed is better for you in a lot of ways. And, for starters, it's a great source of fiber, something we could all use more of. I mean, we're supposed to be getting, 30 grams of fiber a day, and most people don't even come anywhere near close to that. And second, the ground flaxseed actually binds to estrogenic compounds in the body and inhibits them from screwing with our hormone function. They're basically compounds in the environment and in foods that we eat that mimic the female hormone estrogen in our body, which is bad for both guys and gals. And so it's actually a really big problem in our society today, because plastics have estrogenic compounds. Soy has a lot of estrogenic compounds. So, if you're eating a lot of soy and you're eating a lot of food that comes out of plastic containers or using plastic plates and stuff like that, then you are unknowingly ingesting a lot of these estrogenic compounds. And so, one, trying to stay away from those things, but two, using the ground flaxseed in your super shakes will really help with that, kind of keep that under control as well. So basically, it'll help keep your bowels moving good, and it'll help keep your female hormone levels in check. And so, that's a double bonus in my book. Number eight is avocados. Avocados are awesome. We all love, guacamole and stuff, so that, it tastes great. But they provide a lot of good fats for us. They're a very calorie and nutrient-dense food. And so, you don't want to eat a ton of them, again, if you're looking to shed a few pounds. But for those of us that have trouble keeping weight on when we ride a lot and we're extremely active, things like avocados are a great way to keep our calorie levels high without having to resort to eating a lot of junk and empty calories. It's calorie dense, but it's also nutrient dense. So avocados are good for us in that way too. Number nine is quinoa. This is spelled Q-U-I-N-O-A. And it's kind of a super grain of sorts. It has a very low glycemic index, so it doesn't impact blood sugar levels. If you have an allergy to wheat and gluten, which most people do, even if you don't have a really, overt allergy to it, to where, it's very obvious, a lot of people have a low-level allergy to these, to wheat and gluten, and you just don't realize it, just kind of a runny nose, or just kind of, low energy levels and stuff like that can sometimes be traced back to these low level allergies. So, trying to keep the wheat and gluten in your diet down to a minimum is good. And so quinoa is a good way to do that. And it's also the only grain that has a complete protein. It actually has all of the essential amino acids in there. And so if you're a vegetarian, you probably already know about this stuff, but one of the problems with the vegetarian diet is getting all of those essential amino acids in. A lot, most grains and vegetable protein sources don't have all of those essential amino acids. So quinoa does. And, you know, it tastes pretty good. So I think it should definitely be a staple in any mountain biker's kitchen. It's definitely better than rice or potatoes or, you know, pasta or something like that as a carb source with dinner. And so lastly is lean red meat. And, yeah, you know, some people have different opinions on lean red meat, you know, but the reality is we need it. You know, we've got canine teeth for a reason. We are meat eaters. We need the protein. We need the fatty acids in there. And, I mean, seriously, it just tastes good. And, you know, like I said in my post, I mean, what says summer more than, you know, a sweet ride and wrapping it up with some, you know, a barbecue with some burgers or steaks, you know, with your bros. I mean, that's what it's about right there. And so, you know, the lean red meat is awesome, you know, and so don't be afraid of it. This whole, you know, saturated fat has been blown out of proportion. Your body actually needs saturated fat. And so, anyway, as long as you're not, you know, over consuming, you don't need to be having like, you know, 2 servings a day, but, you know, having a burger, having a steak is actually good for you. So that's kind of it. I mean, that's the, you know, my list of superfoods. And, you know, like I said, the idea here is to kind of have a list of foods that you want to have on hand all the time that allow you to make good decisions when it comes time to eat. You know, like I said, if you go to your kitchen and, you know, you don't have, you know, good staple foods available, you're going to be way more likely to start reaching for the bad stuff. And nutrition's huge, man. It's basically, you know, learning to eat for purpose rather than just pleasure is a very important concept for us to wrap our minds around, you know, and this will help. So, and then, you know, lastly, somebody had sent me a question on what is the best balance exercise for mountain biking. And, you know, a real easy answer here, you know, the best balance exercise really is the single leg deadlift. The single leg deadlift forces you to balance in a very mountain bike specific position and movement. And so if you have trouble performing the single leg deadlift, then you have some mountain bike specific balance issues. You know, you know, work on that. But, you know, if you want something a little bit more exotic, and maybe I'll do a video of this here, but, you know, basically get on your knees on a Swiss ball and balance. Like, keep your butt off of it. You know, don't sit down on the Swiss ball. Just get your knees, you know, sitting on your knees on the Swiss ball and, you know, trying to stay tall, keep your spine tall, and, you know, just learn how to balance. Like, trying to keep that ball, like, keep yourself balanced on top of that ball is very much like trying to keep your bike under you. And, you know, you can actually, as you get that down, you can have someone start to, you know, tap on the ball and trying to knock you off. And, you know, it's a fun little game. Just, you know, don't go overboard and, you know, get hurt, you know. So, but that's a, you know, kind of a fun little balance drill that you guys can try out there. And so, and then I also got a video posted from, you know, some ranch action, you know, some little riding we did last weekend and stuff, just some random stuff. But so that's about it. You know, a little bit longer. I didn't get a chance last week to get this going. So, you know, the little bit longer summary this week than the week before. But so that's basically it. So if you didn't get a chance to check out all these posts, that'll kind of give you an overview of it, give you a little more insight into some of them as well. And then, you know, and that's it. So I'm going to get this up, and I will talk to you guys in the next one.